This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Here's a little bit of altered wisdom. Update each Facebook status like it's your last. In today's digital world, it's very likely that your online presence will outlive you. So what happens when your cyber self, what happens to that cyber self when your flesh and bones are gone? All the blog postings, the emails, the tweets, your online bank account? Well, the answer isn't simple. But it turns out you can have some say in how your online legacy is preserved, protected, or annihilated, if you prefer. Raleigh-based writers Evan Carroll and John Romano are co-authors of Your Digital Afterlife, When Facebook, Flickr, and Twitter Are Your Estate, What's Your Legacy? Evan and John, thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Thanks for having us.
So you also have a website called thedigitalbeyond.com. And what got you guys thinking about what happens to that life after you die?
I started thinking about this in 2001. It was the year my grandfather died and my son was born. And when my grandfather died, I was there and I went through his possessions when we cleared out his house. And it's kind of a profound experience going through somebody's life. And we found a lot of really great old photographs of my grandmother and my family. Later that year, as I was doing the whole new father thing, I was taking photos of my son and taking videos and doing all that stuff that new parents do. I started thinking, I'm like, how are these photos going to last 70 years? You know, like my grandfather, they were in a box in the closet, but that's not the case.
So, and for me, sometime around 2003, I had a family member come to me and say, I've been doing lots of things online now. I've been chatting with people all over the world, and I don't want anyone to ever assume that something was going on that wasn't. So can you take care of these things if something happens to me? And a few years later, John and I found ourselves working at the same company and started talking about this one day and went from there.
Well, give us an example of something, because it does seem to me you've got all these emails out there, maybe even identities, Facebook identities, Twitter identities, all of that sort of thing. What happens to those when you're gone?
So it really depends upon the particular service you're using. For example, Facebook gives you the option to memorialize a profile, and that would mean that all the status updates you've written are gone, but the profile is still there for your friends, your existing friends, to sort of remember you. Other accounts like Yahoo, for instance, will simply be deleted after a certain period of inactivity.
But all of these things depend, I guess, from service to service on what is available. But it does seem like you have to do something if you want something to change, right?
Well, most of the accounts that you sign up for, you're going to agree to their terms of service when you first sign up. And those terms of service basically are going to state what happens to these accounts and how those accounts are managed. Oftentimes, those terms of service really aren't necessarily written in the user's best interest. They're written to protect the companies who are providing the service. And they're very counter to the sort of the interests of the user over time.
And how does that work? What? Give me an example of something I've agreed to that might hurt.
Well, Evan was just talking about the idea of Yahoo. Yahoo's terms of service states that their accounts are non-transferable, which means when you're gone, no one can take that account. It would be counter to the terms of service. Their terms of service actually goes a step further and says they have the right to delete all of your content when you're gone. And it's actually kind of frightening when you think that they own Flickr. And Flickr, you could have a lifetime of photos on Flickr, and they have the right to delete your account completely once you're gone.
So you recommend appointing a kind of a digital executor.
Yeah. And more than that, I think what our point of view is we need to sort of get over some really basic problems that we have on the web. And awareness is actually even a problem that you have to deal with first, because if you don't know that Flickr account, let's say, is out there, you won't even your heirs would never even know to go look for it. And then once they do know about it, then there's this access issue. Like, okay, if they don't have the passwords and it's a Yahoo account, well, they're locked out.
And so we recommend that users go through the process of inventorying those digital things they have. Take an inventory, write down how you access that information, and just put a little bit of thinking into what you want to happen to that, and find someone whom you trust to take care of that and do those wishes after you pass away. And it could be as complicated as a long inventory and lots of complicated wishes, if that suits you. Or it could be as simple as having a conversation with your wife or with a trusted friend saying, here's a few things to think about for me.
So you want to know what's out there. And these are things that you might want to collect and keep because they're keepsakes that help you remember your loved one. Then you need access. So hopefully you've given passwords and you've somehow passed those on. If you haven't, is there a kind of a digital locksmith that can get you in to grandfather's account?
So there is one company called Digital Estate Services that emerged around the same time we were writing the book, and we haven't had an opportunity to speak with them directly, but they offer services to help you if you have the person's computer or something like that, and just try to find evidence on that would give you the access information. But I always caution anyone anytime they go looking at a deceased relative's computer and try to go find passwords and things like that, remember that they may not have wanted you to do those things. So you want to take some time and carefully consider what their wishes might have been if they didn't indeed leave any for you.
Now, this service you speak of, it sounds a little creepy in some ways. I mean, do they want a death certificate before they start hacking around grandpa's computer?
You know, I wish I knew that. In fact, I might actually call them and find out, because that is a good question to ask them.
Well, now, you have some cases, too, of some fairly, at least one prominent online figure who remained who had a life after death, and this is the way at least his friends wanted it. Tell us about Mac.
You're talking about
Mac Tonies.
Oh, yeah. Yes, him. Yeah. He's not one that we wrote about in the book, but it is one that one of our colleagues tends to discuss. And he was a prolific blogger, and in his case, he had friends who kind of stepped in to help him out and say, oh, well, you know, here's his blog. Let's go archive this. Let's place another copy of it. And that's because he belonged to this community of users who valued his content. But there's another example of a blogger, Leslie Harpold, whose family decided to pull all of her content off the internet and won't let anyone republish it. And the very similar blogger community feels like that a very important piece of their friend's life has been taken away from them.
Yeah, and here's again, this is a good example of when you leaving your wishes behind, a kind of a will. Can this be included in your regular will and testament? Is this all part of the...
I think the direction that things are going in right now, most likely people will start letting people know their wishes in their wills, yeah. We have to make sure that we don't put any usernames and passwords in those wills, because those wills become public documents once you're gone. But in your will, you can absolutely state your preference. Say, I would like this to be closed down, or I would like this to be preserved, and just make sure that the access, those documents, or however you transfer those passwords, is somewhere in a different document somewhere else.
And Frank, we're starting to see the law change. In Oklahoma, a law was passed in April and enacted in November that states that the executor of one's estate will have access to the online accounts of the deceased.
Oh, that would be different, because I wondered about all of those accounts, your Amazon account, say a bank account, all of that. I mean, those are identities. And even if you're gone and they remain and your estate didn't know they were there, they're just out there for the picking, aren't they?
Well, certainly so. You know, one of the things that we recommend is go through those things that you use for online business and make sure those are taken care of in the way you'd like them taken care of. Say for PayPal is actually really sticky, because say if your bank account is still active or the credit card is still active, if someone has access to your email and a few pieces of information, they could potentially change that PayPal account password and suddenly have a direct link into that account. So there's a little bit of danger in that you want to take care of.
And I think one of the largest problems that I think people are facing is that we confuse a lot of the stuff that we use digital devices for, like, you know, grocery lists and texting your wife that you're going to be late for dinner. You know what I'm saying? So you create a massive amount of content over the course of your life, and mixed in with a lot of this stuff that's very just sort of utility based is stuff that has a lot of meaning, like, you know, your son's piano recital video and a picture of your wife on your first date or whatever it is. So we've mixed in a lot of these things with just stuff that you don't care about. So we need to figure out a way to sort of pull out those things that have value to us, that really reflect us and reflect our identities, and try to make sure that those things are the things that are preserved.
Right. But that's a little bit like sorting through the shoebox or going through the attic in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. But computers have allowed us to sort of conquer quantity, right? So you could have a photo collection of 20,000 photos now without a problem. And imagine, I mean, that's a big shoebox.
Right. So that looks like an opening for some software company to make some kind of sorting software where you put in some form of keyword or key identity photo and say, look for this and not for that.
There's actually a movement of people that are trying to create something called a personal digital archive that says over the course of your life, you put things into this archive of all your content. And hopefully at the end, it would be something akin to something that's sort of curated that, you know, gives you something that's a little more concise.
And hopefully by choosing the things that you think are important to you, you will be also preserving those things that might be important to your children and for posterity.
Now, there's also a virtual eternity, right, that'll let you kind of create an avatar so that loved ones
John
don't really
loves
have
to talk about this.
So that they don't really have to let go.
There's actually two companies now that are doing this, and the idea is that you would train a avatar that actually has your resemblance. You actually upload a photo, and they have software that will manipulate your mouth to make it look like you're talking and speaking the responses. And the more information you put into this database of information about you, the more accurate a reflection it can be of you. And they're talking about ways of doing this automatically. Like imagine if your avatar can listen into your Facebook account and it can hear all those conversations and all those responses. That avatar could get pretty smart in 20 or 30 years.
Well, they could save a lot of money in radio with that kind of a thing. I'm just thinking. Thanks, guys, so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having us.
Evan Carroll and John Romano are co-authors of the book Your Digital Afterlife. You can find out more information on their website, thedigitalbeyond.com. Just ahead, a preview of the 16th Annual North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.
Oh, sweet Jesus, if you're out there, keep me ever close to you as I'm traveling, 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 as I'm traveling.